A person who considers thoughts of God. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 14. Today's Bible verses are from Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. For I will know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Quite a big portion of conflicts come from relationships with people due to misunderstanding. Because of this misunderstanding, the friendship gets broken up, happiness in family gets destroyed, relationships with people ruined, and horrible incidents happen a lot. When people talk about the truth, there are times that people do not believe that truth, and also when people tell lies, there are times that we get deceived. There are many cases that we misunderstand each other, mainly because misunderstanding results from treating others with my own objective perspectives. Misunderstanding and understanding are like two sides of the coins. When we think in our own perspectives, it becomes misunderstanding, and when we consider situation of others, it becomes understanding. In the pioneer days, in the west side of the U.S., people had to take trains for an entire month to get to the east side from the west. People got on the train and one day, a young man held a child and got on board. The child started crying and continued crying. The man tried to calm the child down, but the child cried even more loudly. People were tired, so they attempted sleeping and people got annoyed. Among the other passengers, an impatient, hot-tempered person yelled out, "If you are going to take your child by train, then the mother needs to take care of that child. Where's the mom, and why are you making that child cry and make this noise?" That person shouted in anger. That young man answered, "I apologize, please forgive us. Actually, my wife has passed away, so I am on my way to the hometown to have the funeral. I took in her body to have the funeral there." The tears fell down on his cheeks and apologized again and again. "We are getting off at the next stop." When he said this, all the other passengers got silent. The passengers who misunderstood this young man, who were taking a young child crying because his mother has passed away, they started comforting him and started to understand his situation. That's right. When we think and view things from our own perspectives, there are many times that we misunderstand things. Faith is the same too. We live a life of faith with two thoughts regarding God. The first one is, scary God. God is considered as God who punishes, and they are afraid to be punished by God, so that they keep their Sundays holy, go to worship services on Sundays, and they are worried that their money. If tithes are not offered, then they think that God may take the other financial possessions, so they give offerings to God with fear. When they commit themselves in His ministry, they do not do it gladly, but they do it unwillingly. This comes from misunderstanding about God. Amazing God. This misunderstanding does not help us to have joy and happiness of faith. A while ago, a newcomer has said this, "I've come to church for the very first time, but I did not like people saying that God is Father. What I most hated was that God was called as Father. When I was young, to me, having Father was all about bad memories, and in fact, to me, presence of a father made deep scars that have hurt me and made me to have bad feelings about father's existence. My father came home fully drunken every day and made troubles at home. Without any reason, mom had to be beaten by dad, and he did not take any responsibility in day-to-day running of our household, had no competence, and was a scary father." He said this, "When I came to church, I did not like hearing the phrase that God is Father. It's because since in my childhood, bad conceptions, bad, unfavorable images about Father had been recorded in my head. After this, after I received grace from God, The ideas about Father changed, and when I call the name of God, when I call the name, Father God, the Father, I feel happiness and sense the warm and loving hands of God. What a beautiful confession! He concluded that since he realized and understood that God, the Father, is taking care of all my needs, and taking full responsibility about me and looking after me, since he learned this, misunderstanding about Father disappeared. That's right. Surprisingly, among the people who call themselves as Christians, due to the wrong ideas, due to misconceptions, there are many people that do not get to enjoy the true happiness and freedom. Unfortunately, there are actually many out there that simply do not get to enjoy all these things from God. In today's message, we see that Israelites went through really difficult, hard times when they lived lives as captives of Babylon. They were beaten a lot by chains and went through the agony. But whenever they committed sins, went to wrong pathways, served idols, looked back, God intended them to come back to Him. God gave them difficult time, because it was the punishment of love and whipping of love. But the Israelites did not consider the genuine ideas or heart of God, and considered God as scary God, as God that gives them punishments and gives them disasters. To people like these, God spoke to them like this. My plans are not like that. The plans I have for you are the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. He told them this. God is not God that gives punishment and gives disasters. Our God is not like that. Then what God is like? What kind of God is our God? Firstly, He is good. Let's have a look at verse 11. His thoughts are peace, His thoughts are the plans to prosper you and not to harm you. His thoughts are all about peace, not disasters. How we regard God is important. It tells us to change our wrong ideas and thoughts that we had about God. God wants to give us peace. Where God is, there is peace. There is His protection, guidance and presence. So towards the Israelites who were depressed, worried and were hopeless, He told them that His plans are to give them peace. He added that these were His original ideas and will. The Lord also said that He came here to give you peace, and the first words that He shared after He resurrected was "Peace be with you." Also, where the Holy Spirit worked through at, there was peace all the time. When we look at the people of the early church, despite the circumstances and conditions, when they were full of the Holy Spirit, they enjoyed peace. In Acts, chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "On that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." The disciples that got scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, because of the persecutions in Jerusalem, when they shared the gospel in the city, they experienced great joy. It is because the Holy Spirit gave them peace. God also clearly said that He wants to give us peace. When we encounter a difficult trial, and when there is distress, how do we regard God as? Is our God considered as God of peace or God of disasters? Change the thinking. Happiness of life comes from minds and thoughts. God is God of love, and source of peace. He said that He is not God of disasters. When we come back into the arms of God, He does not ask us about our past and He loves us and gives us peace. On the other hand, Satan's continuously give us worries, uneasiness and negative thoughts. King Saul, when the Spirit of God left him, and when the evil spirit controlled him, the biggest feature was that his heart was in agony. In the 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 to 15, it says, "Now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you." In agony, this means the heart is confused, got entangled and twisted. Everything that is negative, such as worries, anxieties, uneasiness, fear and misunderstanding, These are all twisted, and this is a spiritual disease that makes our spirits go devastated. A heart that is in agony does not have stabilization. A person with a heart that is in agony cannot have a peaceful, deep, comfortable sleep. To get rid of anxiety from him, King Saul disguised himself and went to see a fortune-telling woman. He asked her about his pathway that he should take, and we see that he was then put to shame. Why does anguish start to form? And when does anguish form? In the 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 14, it says, "Now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." It was when the Spirit of God departed and an evil spirit took control of Saul. The heart in agony which was possessed by the evil spirit has shown off in jealousy and envy. He threw a spear to his son-in-law David, to kill him, that he should have lived with in loving relationship, and followed him around like a crazy dog. At the end, he put the knife straight and killed himself. Also, a heart in agony comes out in a form of depression, breakdown, hatred and rage, too. The Bible said that a heart of Saul like this was like that, because Spirit of God left him and the evil spirit controlled him. Satan's, like this, take away the peace from us and make us to be devastated. But God gives us peace. I hope you will all have mature faith, and considers the thoughts of God. Also, God wants to give us hope of the future. Let's have a look at verse 11. It says, "For I will know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Do you know that how happy it is for a person to live with hope? When we have hope, we get to have passion, and the life becomes revived. In contrast, when we lose hope, passion disappears and we get to lose self-confidence. When business that you used to run has failed, calling yourself as a loser and losing the rope of the hope is scarier. When we are sick, calling yourself as a patient, an ill person, and losing the rope of the hope is even scarier. In Hanoi Hospital, two people got hospitalized. One person did not have a serious illness but died, and the other person did have an incurable disease by modern medical technology but lived. People investigated about this closely to find out what the reason behind this was, and found out that rather than applying any kind of medical technique, what made a patient to really live was, whether there is hope in the heart of a patient, or there's no hope in the heart of a patient. That made a patient to live or die. Even a patient is not so serious ill, when this patient is hospitalized and meets a doctor, tells a doctor, "This doctor, I think I am going to live for a few days only." Even a doctor tells that patient, "Your disease is not that deadly, it is nothing." Even this doctor explains that what this patient has is not so serious. Patient does not believe this and denies by saying, "No, I am going to die. There was no one in my family in history that lived for so long and still had depression and at the end died." On the other hand, there was an acute patient. As this patient came to the hospital, he was humming and singing. He asked, "When do I get out of the hospital? Our family has a history of having long life." Since the day he came into the hospital, he thought of a day that he would leave this hospital and he lived really pleasantly. Really an amazing thing, like a miracle, has happened. A miracle that the modern medical technology could not do, has happened, and he could leave the hospital, as he got all okay. That's right. What we need is hope. These days, young people have insecurity. It is because they do not see the hope of the future. The citizens of the nation too, when they see the hope of the future, they get to fall into hopelessness. In our Bible passage of today, when Israelites were taken as captives of Babylon, they could not see the hope of the future. They felt insecure and they were depressed. God knew about this reality and God told them that "I would like to give my people the hope of the future." In fact, future is the time that only God knows about. A lot of experts predict about the future, but the real future is in the hands of God. What would be more comforting than the promise of God that He will give us peace and the hope? Again, today, let's look up to God that takes responsibility of our future and gives us dreams and the hope. Secondly, God answers our prayers. In verses 12 to 13, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart. Call on him, come and pray to him, and he will listen to you, he will answer you." Have a look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. There surely an answer to prayer." David as well, in Psalms chapter 118, verse 5, it says, "When hard pressed, I cried to thee, Lord, he brought me into a spacious place." In time of agony, he cried out to Jehovah and he answered him. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 as well, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." He did not give peace and the hope of the future only, but he also promised us that if we pray to him, then he will answer us. We need to believe that there will be an answer to prayers. Prayer moves individuals, changes the society and moves the history. The breakdown of North Korea has been predicted in many ways, but the reunification of North and the South Koreas also, we need to pray first about it rather than using the armed force. The time of praying is not a waste of time. The religious reformer Luther, when he was busy, he extended his praying time. If we pray, the way, the path that turns around, gets to be straightened. Prayer makes our way straight. He makes our pathways of our lives, from devastating and twisted to be prosperous. What made the walls of Berlin to a fall down, that helped the reunification of Germany, was also prayer. For a while, Germany was divided into two parts, East and West Germany, just like South and North Koreas. And as the walls of Berlin got collapsed in 1989, Germany was reunified. But there are not many people that know about the fact that the reason behind in reunification of Germany was the power of prayer. In East Germany, for 5 years, 7 people gathered together in Leipzig Square in Germany and had a prayer meeting every Thursdays. But as police stopped it, they could not meet in the square and they changed their prayer meeting venue to St. Nikolai Church and continued to pray there for their nation. In this prayer meeting, more people started to gather, and on the 23rd of October 1989, 300,000 people gathered around to pray in Leipzig, and on the 4th of November, 500,000 people gathered together and prayed for the reunification of Germany. They requested God for the reunification of Germany, and this became the foundation of the collapse of the Berlin walls. Later, the highest official of the secret police force of East Germany, Horst Sindermann, confessed. He told the truth. "We actually prepared very well to stop the reunification. But we could not think of one thing. That is the prayer movement that has started at the church." He told this. That's right. The Seven People's Prayer Movement that has started off in the Leipzig Square has been the starting point, and this removed the steel walls that blocked the both sides of Germany for the last 28 years. This prayer movement contributed in achieving the reunification. Germany did not get reunified by other political or cultural means. Experts have once said that the reunification of Germany would be impossible to achieve, even after 20 to 30 years. But that reunification was made possible through the gospel and prayers. These made the walls made of steel to a fall down. The reunification of North and South Koreas as well, we do not know when this would be made possible, but if we only rely on the weapons and the armed military force, it will be miserable to both sides, it will be unfortunate to us all. Like the reunification of Germany, we need to believe that we can achieve this through the gospel and prayers. God said, in verse 13, in the Bible, "You will seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart." Seek me with all your heart and you will seek me. If we long for him with all our hearts, we will find God. This is the promise. What our role is, we need to seek and find. Some people say God will do everything. But that's not right. We have our roles to play, we have our things to do, and there are our roles that God does. If we do not study, and just pray that when I take exams, please show me the answer sheet, and then this is a silly thing. We do our best and leaving everything to God is faith. When Lazarus was dead, the Lord asked to open the stone door. This shows that we, as people, have our roles to do, and there is a role that the Lord does. We need to know this. Opening the stone door is something that we need to do. But making a dead person to live again is something that only the Lord can do. In John chapter 2, when there was no more wine left when the feast was on, getting some more water is something that the servant needs to do. But changing the water to be the wine is something that the Lord only can do. God works through the people. When we do not do the things that we need to do, we cannot experience the work of God. I hope that you will put your best effort in the things that we need to do. Be faithful in the roles that we need to play. The things like praying, living in faith, reading the Bible, being fully committed in serving in His ministry and sharing the gospel, evangelizing are the roles that we need to take part. Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, how has God been recorded in your heart? What kind of God is our God? He is like a father that wants to give us the good things. He is God that wants us to give us peace, not the disasters. He wants to give us the hope of the future, and He listens to our voices, He listens to what we say about what we want, and He promises us that if we seek Him, then He will meet us. Put your eyes upon God that is good. We will have peace and the hope, and there will be answers. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.